Hello and welcome to another episode of New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name is Jen. And on today's show, we're going to talk about how 8 words can change a city.
Got mad skills? Now hone them. Learn new skills or improve your existing ones with online video tutorials and training from lynda.com through our special link at cat5.tv/lynda. Learn software, technology, creative and business skills you can use today to help you achieve your professional goals. Join today and start learning. We'll give you this chance to try it absolutely free with unlimited access to all of the courses. Sign up now for free, cat5.tv/lynda.
Well, welcome back to another episode of New Every Day. So glad that you've tuned in. Thank you to our faithful viewers who have been watching the episodes previous. We're just so glad that you have been tuning in. Mm-hmm. We really enjoy doing this. And I really find it encouraging in my own life to be able to talk about what God is doing and things that we're learning. And then to hear from you on Facebook and on our website, neweveryday.tv. It's been a really neat journey having started doing this broadcast. So thank you. And thank you to Category 5 for hosting the show, to Robbie Ferguson, our producer and director. Thank you also to our partners, Eco Alkaline Batteries, who power our audio equipment and our visual equipment.
Yes.
And we've got some new partners as well.
Family Christian Stores, which is an online bookstore where you can buy books and all sorts of Christian music, and all of the proceeds go to sponsor other ministries involved with widows and orphans. So we encourage you to check them out online. We are also on a shout out to the Stitcher app. If you're not able to sit in front of a computer and listen to us, you can download it using the Stitcher app, and you can go anywhere and
listen to the podcast. Very cool.
We're today going to talk about 8 words that can change a city.
Yeah, so we've been, this is our third episode talking about the book of Jonah. So we've talked about Jonah chapter 1, chapter 2, and now we're on to chapter 3. Jonah was a prophet in the Old Testament. God asked him to go to the city of Nineveh and to tell them to repent, essentially. They were really wicked people. Jonah didn't like them. He decided to take off to Tarshish on a boat. God sent a storm. Jonah ended up getting tossed overboard because it was his fault, because he was running away from God, that the storm came. So he got tossed over, got swallowed by a fish. And then chapter 2 is Jonah's prayer to God of repentance, because he realized that he couldn't run from him and that God in his mercy had let him live. And then the fish vomited him up on the shore. And so now here we are in chapter 3.
Yes.
Figuring out what is the next step for Jonah. He's on the shore. He's come to his senses. He's turned back to God, essentially. And we're going to find out what happens. So why don't we just dive right in there, Jen?
All right. So we're going to read from chapter 3. I'm reading from the New Century Version. And it goes like this. The Lord spoke his word to Jonah again. So I love the fact that God is speaking to Jonah. And said, get up and go to the great city Nineveh and preach to it. And I will tell you what to say. So Jonah obeyed the Lord and got up and went to Nineveh. It was a very large city. Just to walk across it took a person 3 days. After Jonah had entered the city, he walked for 1 day. He preached to the people, saying, after 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God. They announced that they would fast for a while, and they would put on rough cloth to show their sadness. All the people in the city did this, from the most important to the least important. When the king of Nineveh heard this news, he got up from his throne, took off his robe, and covered himself with rough cloth, and sat in ashes to show how upset he was. He sent this announcement through Nineveh. By command of the king and his important men, no person or animal, herd or flock, will be allowed to taste anything. Do not let them eat food or drink water. But every person and animal should be covered with rough cloth, and people should cry loudly to God. Everyone must turn away from evil living and stop doing harm all the time. Who knows? Maybe God will change his mind. Maybe he will stop being angry, and then we will not die. When God saw what the people did, that they stopped doing evil, he changed his mind and did not do what he warned. He did not punish them. When I stopped at the beginning, I was reminded that God did not change his mission to Jonah. Just because Jonah did not want to do it, God didn't change it. He didn't put him on a modified work schedule. Right? Is what happens when something goes wrong with our body. Yeah. We change the way we go about our task.
Yeah. Which is necessary.
And I have no problem with that, because we still like to work and make money. Fair enough. But God does not do that with Jonah. Mm. It is the same deal. You go to Nineveh. You preach the word. Are they still their enemies? Yes, they are. Does God still want Jonah to go? Yes, he does. Mm-hmm. Like, part of me wants to say, God, why didn't you just find someone else who was willing? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, he could use anybody. He doesn't need to use one person or another because of a special quality. But God does give us gifts and expect us to use them. But he can use anybody. You know, when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem before he was crucified, everyone was praising him, and the Pharisees said, make everybody be quiet. He said, if they be quiet, the stones will cry out that he is the Lord. You know, God doesn't need us. He could use the stones to worship him.
Yeah.
And he could have used another prophet.
Yeah.
But I think of the verse that says, the Lord disciplines those that he loves. He disciplines the sons, people that he considers sons and daughters.
Yeah.
And really, when you think about in parenthood, if you see a really unruly kid, the parents just don't give a rip. Mm-hmm. There's no love there. And I mean, people can take discipline totally the other way and overly chastise people.
Yeah.
But it is loving to set parameters for your kids, because they don't know what can hurt them.
Yes. And also, the parent does not change what they've asked the child to do.
True.
I asked you to do the dishes. They throw a tantrum. They get sent to the room, whatever, whatever, whatever. Mm. When they come out, the dishes still need to be done. Mm-hmm. Like, the parent has not changed what they've asked the child to do.
Right.
And so I just find it very interesting that God, that is exactly what God is doing.
Yeah.
Just because you whine and complain, and I've forgiven you and you've repented, here you go. I often remember, and it's not quite the same, but my mom would put a glass of milk for me on the table, and I would drink most of it. I'd get up, I'd be excused and go in, and then I'd hear, "You're not finished your milk." And so many times I thought I could get away with not finishing the whole glass. Yeah. And every time I'd hear this, come back and finish drinking your milk. And I'd be like, oh, because it would be warm. And I'd be like, and I remember just dragging my feet into the kitchen.
Yeah.
And there it was, waiting for me to finish it.
That kind of highlights the joy that comes from instant obedience.
Yes.
When God says, do something or don't do something, or you're about to go do something, you're about to cheat, you're about to just tell a little white lie, and the Holy Spirit pricks your conscience, and you decide in that moment to obey, and you decide not to. The joy that comes from that, and the reinforcement of the goodness of God is instantaneous.
Yeah.
But if you obey later on, and there's a parable about that in the New Testament, about the son who obeyed later, but he still did it. It's not the same sweetness of relationship, you know? I mean, when a kid listens to you right away, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm so thankful you just obeyed me, you know?
They don't get swallowed by a whale.
Yeah, get covered with slime.
And then have to repent and come back and, oh, still do it.
And on the flip side of that, I think, you know, sometimes God says, no, don't do something because he knows that it's going to be best for us. No, Jonah, don't go away from this mission because it's going to be best for you too if you go and obey me. I remember as a kid trying to be sneaky about that, whereas if I wanted a cookie, but I knew I had to ask for it. So I would go, I'd eat the cookie first, then I'd go ask.
Oh, Carrie.
Yeah. So if they said no, I already had a cookie. If they said yes, I got two.
Does your mother know this?
I don't know. She watches the show, so maybe she will now. Sorry, Mom. But they would say no because they know cookies are bad for me. But that's sneaky. And you can't get away from that.
That, okay. Sorry, I'm sorry. I rearranged my face.
Okay.
I feel like we've just had...
So, about repentance.
Repentance. Okay, so... Hi, Colette. But it's so true. Yeah. And people will come to me, and we've gotten off track. We're going to get back to Jonah 2, 3 in a minute. But people will say it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission.
Mm.
And that might be kind of what Jonah's doing a little bit. But it's, and I've heard that from godly people, it is easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission. And I want to say to that, I'm like, that is not, that is taking God's mercy and forgiveness
in vain. Yeah.
And it's setting the wrong example to people around you. It means, I'm going to take things into my own hands.
And then just ask God to sweep up the mess.
Yeah. Rather than, if God has truly called you to do something, he's going to work it out.
Yeah.
And so...
It's not trusting him,
exactly.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay, back to Jonah 3.
Right.
That's a good...
sidetrack.
So the message here... So Jonah obeys the Lord. He gets up. He goes to Nineveh. Huge city. And he preaches 8 words. After 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Uh-oh.
After 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. 7 words.
7 words. How many is it?
Mine says, yet after 40 days.
We knew yet. It was 8.
Okay, so 7 or 8 words.
But still, 8 words. And the entire city comes to know the Lord.
And they turn and repent.
They turn and repent. It said nothing else. It said nothing else. It says, the people of Nineveh believed God. So they must have known that Jonah was a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly would have known he was an Israelite.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and they also knew that the people of Israel worshipped God.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew. They knew that Jonah was speaking the words of the Lord. And what I find interesting is the fact that the entire city, including the king, repents. And it's like, it was just 8 words.
From a guy who just got thrown up by a fish.
I know.
Yeah.
And I find it, so often we get caught up in, well, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? Right? Oh, I can't possibly share the word of God. What if I muff up my words? And it's like, It's not about us. It has nothing actually to do with the words. And Robbie will magically put this scripture at the bottom, but it says, we are to always be ready to give a word. It doesn't say that we have to know the words, exact words that we're going to say. We actually have to be ready to give a word.
Yes.
And then I think that readiness puts us in position where God then speaks through us through the power of the Holy Spirit and does what he's going to do. It's a spirit thing.
Mm.
And it's like in Acts where Peter preaches at Pentecost, it's a good message. But then 3,000 people come to know Jesus. And you're like, whoa, what happened? It's a spirit thing. Like, we cannot predict how God is going to move. I remember being at a Billy Graham crusade. So Billy Graham is a North American, an American evangelist. Very simple message. I was in Ottawa at one of his crusades or one of his meetings, and he gave this very simple message. And in my pride, I'm sitting there going,
that's not going to work.
What is he doing? As if he thinks that's going to work. Like,
there was no video. There was no light show. There was nothing like that.
No, it was just this simple, simple, simple message. And I'm like, really? This is what all the talk has been about? Like, oh dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me. He gave the call.
Yep.
That I surrender all, right? And I felt like the floodgates of heaven opened, because every single aisle in that place was filled with people who went forward to receive Jesus, to declare at that point, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. And I was convicted. I realized at that point that it had nothing to do with his words, it had everything to do with his obedience.
Right.
To be ready at any time to give a word of what God is doing in your life. And here I am getting all teary-eyed again, because I get passionate about this. It has nothing to do with us, except for, are we willing to obey? Are we willing, despite our fears and our insecurities, are we willing to at least say, okay, God, I will surrender to you. And then allow God to do his spirit thing.
Yeah.
And like...
And it's so much more awesome than if we tried to contrive anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I get passionate about this.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. And that's why I get challenged in this passage all the time. Because here's Jonah, covered in slimed, forgiven, repents, forgiven. God gives him the same message, and God uses him in a miraculous, amazing way. Saves an entire city. Saves an entire city! And I'm like, okay, Lord, we can even think, oh, well, God could never use me to win an entire city. Like...
But that's not celebrating who God is.
Yes.
It's like, God can use you.
Yeah.
He wants to, if you surrender yourself to him.
Yeah. And that's the key word. If you surrender yourself to him.
Even deciding to do this show, we thought, well, okay, God will do it. Yeah. And if you want to make something of it, then yay.
Yeah.
May you be like glorified.
Yeah.
And so it's all his work. Whatever we do is for his work. And
yeah.
It's encouraging to know that anyone can sow seed. And God causes the increase.
Yes. Anyone. Doesn't matter if you're 10 or 110. Doesn't matter if you're male or female. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Like, God uses anyone who is willing to come. And he is the one that gives the increase. I think that's so important, that what you said, we sow, but it is God who does the work. It's, and that actually takes the pressure off of us to perform.
Yes. Yeah.
And puts it all on God. And I think we can even say, okay, God, help me to share your word and let me release the work of the Spirit to you. Mm-hmm. Help me not to contrive, but help me to trust you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
The spirit thing.
It is.
It is. We are to simply believe and act.
And then when people come to Christ or relationships are changed because of him, we there's no opportunity then to celebrate the person. We can celebrate what God has done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the questions I do ask about this passage is, why do you think God forgave the people? Like, because they're bad.
Yeah.
They're real bad.
They're violent.
We're keeping it G.
But they're they were really bad.
They're really bad.
Yeah. Why did he choose to forgive them?
Yeah. Because they actually rose up against his people.
Right.
They rose up against...
After this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think because he's merciful. He was showing us his mercy. And they chose to repent. They chose to acknowledge that he is God.
So... Are we then to understand, so I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit here. Are we then to understand that no matter where we're coming from, even if it's like the person who's been involved in witchcraft or the Hell's Angels, or I'm just thinking, you know, I'm throwing out what we would think are really, really bad.
But really are all the same.
No matter how far away someone is from God, even if they rose up, I'm thinking about in the previous show, I believe it was the Jonah 1 episode, where we talked about Corrie ten Boom, and it was the German soldier who was seeking repentance, even though he had watched many, many people be brutally
tortured. And from his hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at this, and when it says, you know, and God heard them.
Mm-hmm.
And he relented because of they were genuinely repentant. And the thing is, this is characteristic of God.
Mm-hmm.
Manasseh, King Manasseh, it says that he gave his own children over the fire. He set up idols all over. And they actually carried him away. And he calls out to the Lord. And the Lord forgives him. And you're like, what?
He was a bad dude.
He was a bad dude.
Yeah.
And yet.
Yeah. But look at Paul in the New Testament, who was Saul.
Yeah.
He was killing the church.
Yes.
He was going from place to place, capturing individuals
yeah.
who were part of the Christian faith, the way.
Yeah.
And he was putting them to death or putting them in prison.
Yeah.
Making them blaspheme and like speak against Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's bad, but he recognized it and surrendered himself to God.
Yeah.
And he says in the New Testament, bear fruits in keeping with repentance.
Yeah.
So what's the fruit of repentance?
What is the fruit of repentance?
Well, the Ninevites turned from their ways. They were going this way and doing violent things, and they turned away from it.
Yes.
And I think repentance is doing that 180.
Yeah.
And turning away.
Yeah.
And then saying, God, and by his power, miraculously, suddenly you don't want to look at that porn anymore.
Yeah.
Suddenly it tastes bad in your mouth.
And I think you made a very important statement right there, because so often we can think an enemy is anyone who rises up against God.
Hmm.
But an enemy of God is anyone who sins. And the fact that you said, you know, I don't want to look at that porn anymore, because we can often think, well, that's a soft.
Because it just impacts me.
Because it just impacts
right.
me. There is no one righteous, no, not one. It has nothing to do with how good you are,
mm-hmm.
but everything to do with, are you willing to surrender your life to Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
to be restored into relationship with God? Because that's what God is calling.
Mm-hmm.
He's not, the Bible's not saying, be good, be good, be good. It's be restored. Come be restored to me. Come be restored to me. It is, yes, it's full of rules, but for the purpose that we can have a full and wonderful relationship
yeah.
with Jesus.
I think when we look at sin in the world, like the media can sometimes portray this as like sickness.
Yeah.
People are sick, but really we're sinful.
Yes.
Jesus didn't come to make sick people healthy necessarily. He came to make dead people living.
Yes. Yes. And that's exactly what he did in this passage. This entire city was dead in their sin. Jonah preached 8 words. The Spirit moved. They repented. And it says, when God saw what the people did, that they stopped doing evil, the fruit of repentance, which is what you said, he changed his mind and did not do what he had warned. God is so merciful. He did not punish them.
Yeah.
Our God is a compassionate God. There is nothing, and we've said this again so many times, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. His mercies are new
every day.
If you sinned yesterday, God will forgive you today. If you sin today, which I've already done, God will forgive me.
Yeah.
Like, thank you, Jesus, that you are so compassionate.
Yeah.
So compassionate.
Yes. I heard a good lyrics to a good song by All Sons and Daughters that said, today's surrender is tomorrow's freedom.
Amen.
That's true. Choose today.
Choose today.
So I think that pretty much wraps it up for another week, Jen. We've got one more chapter of Jonah, and we hope that you'll tune in next
yes.
week as we conclude the book. And if you have any comments to share, we really invite you to post them on our Facebook page. Visit us at the website, neweveryday.tv. We'd just love to interact with you. If you want to post a prayer request or send us a private message, we'd be really happy to pray for you. So why don't I pray now and wrap it up, Jen. Father God, thank you so very much for the wonderful new life that you offer through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, would you please forgive us for the times when we have turned away from you. But Lord, would you help us and help our viewers to surrender to you afresh.
Yes.
That times of refreshing might come from you. I pray for those who are experiencing the consequences of sin, whether it's bad relationships or addiction or guilt that weighs them down or depression because of bad decisions that they've made, or maybe they're feeling like their life is not worth living. Maybe they're suicidal. Jonah didn't care to live anymore, but God, you intervened and you restored him. You gave him a second chance, and you also gave the Ninevites a second chance. And I thank you that you do that for us. So I pray for those people, that you would intervene in their life, that they would experience the hope of Jesus Christ, and that they would turn from what they know is wrong. Lord, thank you for the upcoming week. Thank you for all that you're going to do. I want to thank you, Lord, for helping one of our viewers go through surgery and be restored. God, thank you for that. You're awesome. And just pray for Jen as she shares a message this week, that you give her the words to say. Lord, thank you that you hear us when we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. And may your week be blessed, and may you experience a spirit thing.
Amen.